next time on Early Music Now.
Monday, 6 a.m. on WVIK Classical.
I'm Maggie Tinsman from Bettendorf, and WVIK is not only my NPR station, but also my WVIK Classical station. Please join us.
Think of giving to this NPR station like planting a perennial. Tend to it now, and it will be there for you year after year. Donate today.
Go to WVIK.org and click on that donate button.
Thank you. Welcome to From the Top, where outstanding young musicians come to play. I'm your host, pianist Peter Dugan. You just heard 17-year-old pianist Matthew Scott from Louisville, Texas, perform Claude Debussy's L'Île Joyeuse, or Joyful Island. There's plenty of joy to go around on today's show, as we'll introduce you to incredible young talent from New York, New Jersey, Maryland, and Texas. Let's start with Matthew, who's sitting here next to me, full of joy. Matthew, welcome to From the Top.
Thank you.
And what a performance that was.
Thank you very much.
Well, let's go on a little voyage back in time a little bit now. We want to know about your musical journey. How old were you when you started playing the piano?
I was four.
Four. When did you know you had a so-called good ear for music?
I think my parents realized pretty early on. I might have been like two or three. Basically, one time they found me like filling up water glasses and I was filling them differently to produce different pitches. And then I would get like a spoon or something and hit them to like play a tune. And I played like Twinkle Twinkle or something.
Wow.
And then a little later they said, we should maybe try piano lessons.
So who have you studied with over the years?
So my first teacher was Christina Kim at Lone Star Music Academy. And then I studied with Constantine Travinsky. And now I'm studying with Gabriel Sanchez, who is a pianist of the GSO.
Amazing. And you were also able to get another pretty famous musician to mentor you, not a pianist, but a rather hip violinist, maybe better known in jazz circles. Want to tell us who that is and how this all came to be?
That's Professor Scott Tixier.
Yeah. So how did you get to meet him?
So I'm in this ensemble called Youth Jazz International, YJI, which is basically a group of classically trained musicians who want to get into jazz.
So cool. What have you been working on?
It's mostly like sort of the old classic jazz stuff, like Fly Me to the Moon and Take the A-Train.
I mean, not to put you too much on the spot, but can you give me a little taste?
Like just like... I can't really do this on the spot, but...
You're doing it! Yes!
Something like that.
Dude, that sounded great.
Thank you.
You've had so many career highlights already, even at your young age. What have been some really memorable moments that stand out?
It's probably been the summer festivals. I've been to the Piano Texas and Oberlin Piano Festivals several times. And I played in 2021 with the Fort Worth Symphony Orchestra.
Wow.
And then the next year I played Ruck 2 with Las Colinas Symphony.
What does it feel like getting to have a whole symphony orchestra behind you?
I think it's intimidating at first, definitely. Mm. It's like there's little me on the piano and then 100 other people in the orchestra. But eventually you feel like you're a part of that group.
Yeah. Have you played music in places other than concert halls that have left an impression?
I've done quite a bit of performances in senior living centers. And one of the places that I've been many times, there's a retired opera singer who's with the Dallas Opera.
Wow.
And she's definitely aging quite a bit and probably memory issues and stuff like that. But sometimes I'll go in and I'll play a recognizable piece like Chopin Nocturne 2. And she started singing the melody to it.
Wow.
And it was really special. And I think she has such a good knowledge of that repertoire that she can sing most of the pieces I play. And it's pretty fun.
That's a great connection point.
Yeah.
Matthew, thank you so much for spending some time with us today. Thanks for that gorgeous Debussy.
Thank you.
17-year-old pianist Matthew Scott, a high school senior from Louisville, Texas.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from the Massachusetts Cultural Council, a state agency connecting young people with the arts in schools and in their communities. Learn more at massculturalcouncil.org. From BritBox, dedicated to offering viewers the opportunity to see it differently with British TV. Streaming original series, Jane Austen dramas, Agatha Christie mysteries, and more at BritBox.com. And from the sustaining members of this NPR station.
Next, we head to New York City to meet 16-year-old violinist Austin Webster Perks. He and I will perform Song of Love, Opus 7, No. 1, composed by Josef Suk and arranged for violin and piano by Yaroslav Kotsian.
Thank you. That was 16-year-old violinist Austin Webster Perks performing Josef Suk's Song of Love, Opus 7, No. 1, in an arrangement by Yaroslav Kotsian. I'm Peter Dugan, and it was a true pleasure to join Austin on the piano for that beautiful duet. Austin, hey, welcome to From the Top.
Thank you for this opportunity, yeah. That is one of the most ecstatic, passionate pieces and performances we've had on From the Top.
Thank you so much.
I've never played it before, but how did you discover this piece?
So originally my teacher gave me this piece about a year ago at Metamount in upstate New York, a music summer camp. And I just fell in love with it, listening to every recording I could find. I found older musicians like Kogan sharing all these amazing Oistrakh.
Yeah, that Oistrakh recording is something else.
So incredible. And I feel like it really encapsulates that more old style of playing, which I particularly love because I find they draw more emotion from themselves because they didn't have access to as much recordings. They couldn't listen to as many people. So they really had to find it within themselves to bring out what they had and what passion they were able to do.
Man, and you have a little bit of that old school sound when you play. So do you have a musical family, Austin?
I do not have any musical family members.
So how did you get to be the violinist, the artist that you are?
When I was a baby, my parents used to play me classical music. And I used to cry, I used to bawl my eyes out, but not in a very negative way, but from the pure emotion of the music. So
yeah.
When I was three, my mom took me into a music shop where they had all these instruments, piano, guitar, everything. So I immediately ran to the violin section and here we are.
When did you start to feel really serious about music? Like it could become the center of your life?
Probably when I was 11. I started taking lessons with a college professor at the university in Nova Scotia. And that's when I really thought, hey, maybe I can do this.
And what was it about their approach that took you to that next level?
It was just such a contrast to what my previous view of music was. So from like 3 to 10, music was kind of this blissful joy, I feel like. But I didn't really have a scope of all the qualities that you could really express with music. And I felt this new teacher of mine really taught me well in that sense, where you can have this full palette of colors that you can explore.
Yeah. Okay, here's a fun question. If you could play any piece anywhere with anyone, what would the piece be? Where would you be playing and with whom?
I would probably like to do some Carmen Fantasy arrangement with Maria Callas, where I would play the violin and she opera singer.
Ooh.
I feel like that'd be very interesting in maybe somewhere in Europe, Italy or France.
There's that old school soul that you've got coming through. Well, thank you so much, Austin. It's been a real privilege to get to make music with you and get to know you.
Thank you so much.
16-year-old violinist Austin Webster Perks from Halifax, Nova Scotia, now New York, New York. From the Top listeners, we want to hear from you. 2025 is From the Top's Silver Jubilee, and your voices will be a part of our on-air celebration. Please visit fromthetop.org/voicemail to leave us a message for a chance to hear your voice on the broadcast.
Hi, this is Gretchen Nielsen, Executive Director from the Top. I am so grateful to you, our audience, for keeping us going strong for 25 years. Now, let's hear from a listener.
I'm the parent of two young musicians who appeared on the show when they were in high school. I was beyond grateful to see and hear my kids on From the Top, and the community outreach experience taught them lessons in leadership and communication that stick with them to this day. From our family, thank you, From the Top, and happy anniversary.
Support for NPR comes from the station and from the Jack Kent Cook Foundation. The Jack Kent Cook Young Scholars Program provides pre-college scholarships for high-performing seventh-grade students with financial need. JKCF.org. From BritBox, dedicated to offering viewers the opportunity to see it differently with British TV. Streaming original series, Jane Austen dramas, Agatha Christie mysteries, and more at BritBox.com. And from the listeners who support this NPR station.
Did you know you can name WVIK as a beneficiary in your insurance policy or individual retirement account? Yeah, and you may receive additional financial benefits as well the next time you meet your advisors to review your estate or long-term financial plans. Please remember, you can include WVIK. For more information on creating a legacy gift in your name, give us a call at area 309-794-7500 or wvik.org.
I'm Kat from Rock Island, and WVIK is my favorite classical music station.
The NPR network informs and connects communities around the country, providing reliable information in times of crisis. Your support helps ensure that public radio remains freely available to everyone. Please make your gift to this station today. Here's how, and thank you.
Visit WVIK.org and click the donate button to give your support.
Welcome back to From the Top, where outstanding young musicians come to play. I'm your host, pianist Peter Dugan. It's so great to be with all of you this week and every week, thanks to the generosity of Susan and Gerald Slavitt. Here on the program, we celebrate the joy of music and its ability to bring people together every day. And today's show is particularly joyful, as our young musicians have brought pieces that are lively, exuberant, and in the case of our next young artist, fiery. Let's welcome 16-year-old classical guitarist Vivian Wang from Edison, New Jersey. She'll be performing the third movement, titled Fuoco, from Libra Sonatine by Roland Dionz. That was the third movement from Libra Sonatine by Roland Dionz, performed by 16-year-old classical guitarist Vivian Wang. Hello, Vivian. Welcome to From the Top.
Hi, thank you.
Our listeners probably recognize the name Roland Dionz. We've featured quite a number of his guitar works on From the Top. Why do you think his work is so popular among guitarists?
His work is very unusual. Like, it brings in a lot of diverse factors from guitar that you wouldn't typically see on the classical guitar. There's a lot of like percussion and different timbres and how you can produce the sound.
Tell me about some of these extended techniques that we just heard.
So like at the very end, you could hear a little bit of the drumming portion on the top of the guitar.
Can you drum a little bit for us?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's like a really like tinny little sound, but there's also much thicker sounds that you can produce with the guitar. Like,
wow.
Woo! What are some of the other cool extended techniques you got to do in this piece?
Oh, there was also one part where I use like the head of the instrument, like this part you don't play with usually. It's like almost like something you would hear in Halloween.
Yeah, it's eerie. I also heard you bending some notes.
Oh, yeah. So it was like...
That's cool. You don't do that in Bach very often.
Yeah, definitely not.
What are the ways in which you and your guitar participate in the music community?
Well, I started learning guitar when I was 4 years old. Wow. In Vancouver, Canada. Mm-hmm. Classical guitar, although it's small, it's actually quite popular over there. And then when I moved back here to New Jersey, mm-hmm. it was a super isolating process. Especially
How old were you at this time?
6 years old.
Oh, wow.
Because it was a suburb and there were no other guitarists next to me. Mm-hmm. And so my mom plays the guitar, my brother plays the guitar, and I play the guitar.
Wow.
So what we decided to do was to build our own class in our local Chinese school. After that, we slowly built our own community. So now we have actually a pretty big guitar hobbyist group in our local area.
Wow.
And then when I was 11 years old, I was finally old enough to attend the Guitar Foundation of America Summit. And that was actually my turning point of my entire like guitar career. I saw so many passionate young guitarists that were like around the same age as me, and they were practicing 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours a day. Mm. And I was mind blown, actually. And then so finding that community was a life-changing thing.
Well, thank you for sharing your love of the guitar. I've got a big smile on my face, and I know all of our listeners are smiling too.
Thank you.
16-year-old classical guitarist Vivian Wang from Edison, New Jersey. Now, let's welcome 18-year-old cellist Jin Han from Flower Mound, Texas. He and I will perform the first movement of Beethoven's Cello Sonata No. 3 in A major.
Thank you.
That was 18-year-old cellist Jin Han from Flower Mound, Texas, performing Beethoven's Cello Sonata No. 3 in A major, the first movement. I'm pianist Peter Dugan, and I had the sincere pleasure of playing with him. Jin, what a treat to perform that music with you.
Thank you.
Tell me a little bit about what you strive to achieve in this iconic opening. What are you going for?
I just really like how this opening is really trying to show the essence of a cello, I would say. Like the
yes.
thing I enjoy about the cello the most, it has such a very like low register, and like it also goes like extremely high. I don't know, just the amount of variety you could do on a cello is really like intriguing to me.
What's your origin story with the cello?
Kind of silly, but I think it started with me watching some sort of YouTube video of two cellos like fighting with lightsabers as their bows, and I thought that was really funny. And like, my mom is also a musician, she's a pianist. I have two brothers, one of them being a twin, so we all started on piano because we just grew up with it around our mom, and she just wanted us to explore some string instruments, so she did also suggest for me to play cello. So I started at age 10.
Uh-huh.
So your mom like sensed that the cello would be a good fit for you?
I don't know. She just said I looked like a cello player when I was younger. So
had you heard people before that playing the cello?
Oh, yes. Actually, my pastor at my church played the cello. He would play for the church. And I also thought that sound was very beautiful.
If you could choose one piece of music to play over all others, what would it be and why?
I think I would have to be basic and go with the Dvorak cello concerto.
Oh, there's nothing basic about that. That's such a good choice.
Yeah.
It's an epic piece of music.
It just has so much emotion in the piece, all three movements. I just have a lot of emotional like images that come through my head like when listening to it.
Have you had a chance to perform it yet?
No, but I will be performing with the Greater Dallas Youth Orchestra in March.
Wow. So, congrats.
Yeah, thank you.
So you will be performing it.
Yes.
Well, you play beautifully. You are a deep artist and can't wait to watch your flourishing career in the years to come.
Thank you.
18-year-old cellist Jin Han from Flower Mound, Texas. Now let's welcome 17-year-old pianist Zach Lamb from Bethesda, Maryland. He'll be performing Waltz No. 7 in F minor by the modernist composer Leo Ornstein.
Thank you.
That was 17-year-old pianist Zach Lamb, a junior in high school from Bethesda, Maryland, performing Waltz No. 7 in F minor by Leo Ornstein. Zach, I love how you make that piece your own.
Thank you.
It sounds like it's coming straight from your mind or your heart out through the piano into the world. It's really beautiful and such a personal performance.
Well, it's kind of hard not to when there's so few recordings. I think there's like two or three out there.
Yeah, so Leo Ornstein might not be a name that many of our listeners have heard before. Tell me a little bit about how you discovered his music and what drew you to this piece.
Yeah, so Leo Ornstein was a Ukrainian-American composer and pianist.
Mm-hmm.
How I discovered his music was the YouTube algorithm. It might steal your data, but it's very good for those kind of classical music rabbit hole explorations that you need to discover new music.
Yeah. So you were on YouTube, you found his music. Was this the piece that you first discovered?
I found his Eighth Sonata first, which is in a very different style from this. I guess there is like a rough delineation of different stages or styles in his life.
What's your favorite period of his?
I like his early period because, you know, it's very futurist, avant-garde. That's where you get pieces like Suicide in an Airplane. Like this is how it starts, and then so it,
wow,
it simulates the crash of World War One pilot.
Oh,
so
wow.
You can hear the motors in the background, and everything's very jarring, abrasive,
yeah,
clustered, and it kind of predicted the modernist era that was to come because he was at the forefront of that movement,
right. Have you had any interesting experiences or personal connections with his music?
Yeah, so I actually reached out to Leo Ornstein's son, Severo, because I couldn't find a book for the music. And he said, yeah, there is no book. It's no longer in publication. So He sent me like a PDF of the copies.
I just thought it was amazing because I was looking at this score as you performed and it's very bare bones in the sense that there's almost no articulation marks, very few, if any, dynamic markings. Are there any dynamic markings?
No. There's zero dynamic markings.
No indications of retard, accelerando. It's like almost a score of Bach, right?
Yeah.
In the sense that it's the notes and then you have to bring the interpretation. I was just really impressed at how you made the music come off the page.
Well, thank you.
Well, Zach, it's been a pleasure having you. Thank you for your time, your energy, and sharing all of your musical insights with us, and can't wait to see where this journey takes you.
Thank you very much.
17-year-old pianist Zach Lamb, a high school junior from Bethesda, Maryland. Now let's welcome 18-year-old soprano Janiyah Palmer from Baltimore, Maryland. Janiyah, hey, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
What do you have for us to perform together?
We'll be performing Joy by Ricky Ian Gordon.
Great, I'm really looking forward to this. Whenever you're ready, let's take it from the top.
Thank you.
That was Joy by living American composer Ricky Ian Gordon with text by Langston Hughes, performed by 18-year-old soprano Janiyah Palmer with me, Peter Dugan, on the piano. Janiyah, that really was a joy. Thank you so much for that performance.
Thank you.
I want to back up to the origins of your singing and get to know the person behind that beautiful voice. So when did it start for you?
I've been singing casually my whole life, I would say. Mm-hmm. But I think it really started for me in a talent show I did when I was 6, maybe.
Wow, that's early.
Yeah, it was pretty rough.
What'd you sing?
I sang Girl on Fire by Alicia Keys, and I started crying as soon as I stepped on the stage.
Oh, just because you were nervous?
Oh my God. I didn't stop singing or crying. I stayed on the stage, and I kept singing, and I kept crying, but... I think that's where I was like, oh, okay, this wasn't that bad, minus my nerves.
What an image. Good for you for sticking with it. So at what point did you first start having lessons or some kind of organized approach to singing?
My freshman year of high school is when I started taking my voice seriously.
And what composers or pieces have inspired you throughout your years of study?
I think Margaret Bonds and Florence Price.
Hmm.
I also like Ricky Ian Gordon. And
that's the composer we just performed.
Yeah.
But of course, you mentioned Margaret Bonds and Florence Price, who are two of the most important Black women composers of the 20th century. Any particular songs of theirs that you've had the opportunity to perform?
I have performed Minstrel Man by Margaret Bonds.
Nice.
And I have a particular connection to Margaret Bonds or just Black women composers in general because it just makes me feel welcomed in a community that sometimes doesn't feel as welcoming. And it just makes me feel like I can succeed being who I am.
How do you think your generation views classical singing?
Well, from my peers that are not in the classical music world, they're just kind of like, oh, this is boring.
Yeah.
But like, once I show them pieces that they may have never heard or thought about listening to, then they're like, wow, wait, this could actually be interesting and I might want to listen to this.
What pieces do you play for your friends to try to say, hey, you can't call this boring?
I play Mozart's Requiem in my car, and I'll just blast it for them so that they can listen and hear it. Honestly, most of like the Requiem masses, they just open up people's ears because it's like, how can you call this boring? This is obviously not boring. Like, I don't know.
Well, Janiyah, you are anything but boring, that's for sure. And I hope you just keep sharing your light with the world. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
18-year-old soprano Janiyah Palmer, a senior at the Baltimore School for the Arts in Maryland. I hope you've enjoyed this celebration of the joy and beauty that music brings into our lives, and that these young performers have inspired you as much as they've inspired me. To close our program, let's enjoy a flashback finale, Franz Strauss's Nocturno Opus 7, performed by one of our alumni, French horn player Caitlin J. Ressler, with Christopher O'Reilly on the piano. But first, I'd like to say thank you to all of our young artists for sharing their extraordinary talent and passion with us today. And to you, our listeners, for spending this time with us. I'm Peter Dugan. Join me next week, and we'll take it from the top.
Thank you to Brian Jacobs and Tom Tyra at Bias Studios in Springfield, Virginia, Dan Bowie at Sound on Sound Studios in Montclair, New Jersey, and Kent Stump at Crystal Clear Sound in Dallas, Texas. Today's From the Top was produced by Megan Swan and Sarah Gelletti. Sound design and music editing by John Escobar. Our associate producer and mastering engineer is Rodrigo Cuenca, and our production manager is Amanda Roth. From the Top's executive director is Gretchen Nielsen. From the Top is an independent nonprofit organization based in Boston. If you'd like to appear on our program, apply online at fromthetop.org. From the Top is supported in part by an award from the National Endowment for the Arts, on the web at arts.gov.
Support for NPR comes from the station and from the Massachusetts Office of Travel and Tourism, offering visitors information about the arts, culture, and history of Boston. The journey begins at visitma.com. From the estate of Joan B. Kroc, whose bequest serves as an enduring investment in the future of public radio and seeks to help NPR be the model for high-quality journalism in the 21st century. And from the Skoll Foundation, dedicated to powering social innovators to transform the world. Learn more at skoll.org.
You're listening to WVIK Classical on 98.3 FM, W252 EM Davenport, and 90.3 HD2 WVIK Rock Island. Support for Quad Cities NPR, WVIK, and the Echo Radio Hour comes from Village Home Stores, offering cabinetry, flooring, appliances, and lighting since 1984. Complete kitchen and bath remodel project management available. A portfolio of work is available at villagehomestores.com.
I'm Katie Harley, and I'm from Davenport, and WVIK is my NPR station.
Don't play much jazz, don't play much bop.